So we've heard that story before, and I think that a lot of us have read that story before, and maybe so many times that we get numb to it. But guys, we've got to remember, every time we do anything to celebrate Christmas, that we're celebrating that. Like, that we're celebrating that God chose to send His Son, His only Son, to us so that we could have life, right? You've seen the nativity sets. You probably have them in your house. You've seen them out in people's yards. Guys, that's to help us remember, to remind us of the fact that God did send Jesus for us. So this Christmas season, as we celebrate, as we do all the things that we normally do, as we have fun, as we give presents, as we decorate our houses, as we look at Christmas lights, all of these things, guys, I want to encourage you not to be numb or not to forget why we're doing all that, but to remember that all of that happens and we push pause this time of year specifically to give thanks and to celebrate the incredible love of God that drove God to sending His Son so that we could have life, so that we could know Him, right? As you see a Christmas shirt, as you see a nativity set, as you give a gift, as you look at Christmas lights, that's what I want you guys to do to help us stay there in our hearts and in our minds this Christmas season. I just want you to pause, right? I just want to slow down. And when you see it, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to thank God that He loved you enough to send His Son. And then second, I want you to pray. Right? I want you just to pause and pray, just right where you're at, right? And I don't mean physically pause, but I mean mentally and spiritually. Just give pause to thank God. As you're walking down the hall in the crowded mall trying to buy that last-minute Christmas present, you see somebody's Christmas shirt. As you're walking, God, thank you so much for loving me enough to send your Son to give me life. Driving down the road and you see a nativity set in someone's yard, just pause spiritually and mentally and just take that moment to remind yourself, man, why are we doing this? What is this all? It's about Jesus. It's about God sending His Son so that we could have life. Thank God. And as you're thanking God, remember how incredibly loved by God you are. Right? At Christmas time, there's a lot of people that they just don't feel the love. Right? There's things going on in their family. There's things going on with their friends. And they just sort of feel maybe a little bit more alone and a little bit more isolated during Christmas time. Guys, I want to encourage you, if that's you, and every time you think of Christmas, pause, thank God, and remember how incredibly loved by God you are. And we've been looking at a verse, right, that tells us the big picture, the story of Christmas the last several weeks. It's John 3:16. You guys got it, all right? You know the verse. Do we know it? Let's say it together. For God so loved the, that He gave His only, that whoever believes, that's a huge word, believes in Him, should not, but have eternal. We've got it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, should not perish, but instead, there's another option here, have eternal life. And we've looked at that verse for the past couple of weeks, right? Who would have thought that we could spend 3 or 4 weeks on one specific verse? But there's so much in here. Look up at the screen. The first week we looked at the word God in that verse. And as we looked at the word God, we learned, we discovered that God is eternal, right? That God is the beginning, that God is the end, that everything exists because of God. And this eternal God, right, that has created everything, from which everything is dependent on, this eternal God is a God of love, right? God is love. And so look at the verse, right? We looked at the word loved in that passage. And the incredible thing about the word love in John 3:16 is that word is described. It says God so loved the world. And remember, it's not necessarily how much God loved the world. It's a love that was driven to action, a love that motivated, that caused God to do something. So this eternal God loved us so much that He did something. Who did He love? Look at the verse. God loved the world. Raise your hand if you're a part of that, right? God loved the world. God loved us. And as we read that specific word in this context, in this verse, we realize that it's a sinful world, a fallen world. God loved the world that rejected Him. God loved the world that rebelled against Him and lived in sin. And God loved that world so much, that before the people of the world got their act together, God sent his Son again so that we wouldn't perish, but instead so that we could have life. God loved the world so much. His love for us drove him to do something. Look back at the verse. What did he do? He gave. He didn't trade. There's a very important distinction here. God did not trade his Son in exchange for our good deeds in order that we might have life. God gave freely to an undeserving group of people, to us. God gave freely to an undeserving world the gift of his Son, right? And we talked last week, Pastor Fleming talked about God's only Son. Who is? We can do this. Who's God's only Son? It's Jesus, right? We talked about Jesus last week, and when we saw that Jesus is God, right? The Son of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Jesus came with a specific goal, mission, purpose on this earth, and that is so we would not perish but have life, right? So we looked at those things, and we saw that Jesus came, and here's a question. I want you to think about the answer to this question. Why did Jesus come? Think about it. Why did Jesus come? We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the fact that God sent his Son to us. The question is, why? Why did God do that? Why did Jesus come? Look back in the verse. Look at it. Get your eyes on Scripture. Get your eyes on the Bible. Why did Jesus come? And here's what I'm guessing. I'm trusting, I'm praying, and I'm hoping that a lot of you, that most of you, prayerfully all of you, would know the answer to that as to why Jesus came. But I'm also guessing this. If I were to ask you why, you would give me the right answer, but you would give me half of the right answer that we see in this verse. A lot of times we focus on the positive part of the verse in here, and we don't focus on the second part of the truth in here. So we're going to look at the end of the verse today. We've looked at God loving the world so much that he gave Jesus, and this morning we're going to see and hopefully understand and know from God's word why he gave Jesus. He gave Jesus so that. Look at John 3:16. Look at your Bibles. He gave Jesus so that, indicating the purpose, right? He's about to tell us why he sent Jesus. So whoever believes in him should not, but instead have eternal life. Listen, there's two very different realities that are presented in this verse, all right? Perishing and life. Right, when we ask why Jesus came, a lot of times our answer is, Jesus came so that we can have life. And that's 100% correct. But in this verse, Jesus says, I came so that you would not perish and have life. If we don't have life, we're going to what? Perish. That's what the verse says. We're going to look at the truth that's in this verse. And as we begin to talk about perish, I know that some of you right now are thinking, seriously, at Christmas time, 8 days before Christmas, you're going to talk about perishing? And the answer is yes. Yes, as we preach through this verse, guys, we're committed to preaching the entire Word of God, not just the happy parts or the parts that we like. We're going to preach through the Word of God as we go through it. And just like Jesus speaks of life in this verse, Jesus speaks of the reality of perishing in this verse. Listen, this concept of perishing is real, right? It is real. It's talked about in Scripture all over. It's talked about from the beginning to the end. We see it in so many different places, and it's not something that we can ignore. So listen, at Christmas time, as we celebrate the love of God, as we celebrate the gift of Jesus, the eternal life that's found only in Jesus. Guys, we need to remember in the context of this verse that this verse not only gives us life, that Jesus not only gives us life, but in this verse we see that Jesus gives us life and saves us from perishing, right? We have life that rescues us from a fate of perishing. What does that mean? In John 3:16, when he says that those who believe in him should not perish. What does perish mean? Translated literally, that word perish means to destroy violently, to cut off, to be in ruin, or listen to this, to suffer imaginable loss. All right? So those who believe in him should not die, should not be destroyed, should not be violently cut off or to suffer ruin or be in a state of imaginable lost. In John 3:16, it's the opposite of eternal life. So which means literally from this verse to perish means to be cut off from the presence of God. To be cut off from the presence of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, talking about people who are perishing, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and away from His glorious might. Guys, to perish means it means no love. It means no light. It means no life. It means no hope, because to perish means no God. Think about that. Completely cut off, away from the presence of God, which means to be sent to hell. Which means to be banished away from the presence of God. Listen, guys, that's an actual place. That is an actual place. It's a place of punishment, a place of torment, a place of pain. Revelation 14:10 talks about those who are perishing, those who are in hell, will drink the wine of God's wrath. Right? Jesus spoke of hell. Jesus spoke of this place of torment, this place of anguish, this place of outer darkness and weeping. Listen, guys, Jesus spoke of it because He came to save us from it. He came to save us from our sins, the consequences of which are hell, the consequences of which are this terrible, terrible punishment. Listen, as incredible as you can imagine heaven, the paradise in your mind that is heaven, guys, hell is that bad. Hell is that bad, a place of pain and a place of punishment for the sins that we commit. Listen, as we think about this, right, I just want you to look back at the verse. Look back at John 3:16. God sent His Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish. Guys, that concept of perishing, it's not something that we, if we get it, if we understand it, if we grasp it, it's not something that we would ever wish on anybody. It's not something that we would ever hope for another person, no matter how much we might dislike them. And we should probably have a conversation about that as well. But no matter how much we might dislike them, no matter how much we think they deserve to be punished for specific things, if we understood, if we could grasp what Jesus is talking about when He brings in this concept of perishing, guys, it is something that would radically change the way that we interact with other people. It's an actual place separated from God. And then the last thing that I want to share with you about this is that it's eternal. Guys, it does not end. People aren't punished for a little while, and then God says, okay, the punishment is done. You can move on. Guys, it's a place that does not end. It's the opposite in the verse of eternal life. We believe that eternal life is forever, right? The Bible teaches the same of perishing. There's some people who would believe something a little bit different. There's some people who would believe that when a person perishes, when a person is cut off from the presence of God and sent there, that their punishment is short and then they cease to exist. But as we talked, right, with the preachers and the communicators at Champion Forest, and we believe what the Bible teaches from beginning to end in Scripture, that hell is an eternal place. Prepared for those that do not trust in Christ. Look at John 3:16. Prepared for those who do not believe in the one and only Son of God. And you're saying, listen, dude, it's Christmas time. Give it a break. And the question is, why does it matter? Okay, and let me give you two reasons. It matters because it's real. Because it's real. Jesus taught on it. It's real. And it matters because there will be people that go there. You think about that. It matters because it's real, and it matters because there will be people that go there. Why would someone go there? Guys, it's a very simple answer in the Bible. It's sin, right? We see that sin is disobedience to God. It's rebellion against God. We see that sin separates people from God. Back in the very beginning of the Bible, God creates the first two people. They are Adam and Eve, and He puts them in the Garden of Eden. They sin, and we see that the consequence of their sin is separation from God. They're removed from God. They're removed from the garden. They're removed from the presence of God. Guys, sin separates us from God. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says that what I have earned with my sins, what you have earned with your sins, right, is death. It's to perish. It's to be separated from God. God. I mean, that's the reality, right? That's what the Bible teaches us about sin and about those that stay in their sin away from the Father. And here's the thing, as we teach this, as we discuss this, as we have conversations about this, these are conversations that you might have with people at school or conversations on a mission trip. A lot of times when we think about this concept, when we read John 3:16 and we get to that word perish, a question that I get all the time, and I'm sure you guys have gotten before as well, how could a God that loves the world so much allow anyone to perish? Allow anyone to go there? Anybody ever heard that? How could a loving God allow something like that to happen? It's a question that, listen, for those of us that believe in Jesus, it's a question, guys, that we need to be prepared to answer. It's not a question to be scared of. It's not a question to run away from. It's not a question to be intimidated by. It's a question that we need to be prepared to answer so that we could point people ultimately to Jesus. And here's a short answer, right? God is what? One word, give it to me. God is love. God is love. But God's not just love. As we read through God's word, we see that God is also just, right? We see that the character of God is good. The character of God is just. And because God is just, I believe that makes his love and his mercy shine all that more brightly. Listen, guys, sin and rebellion lead to separation from God. And so when people ask that question, we need to be willing to embrace the reality that perishing for some, that for those that don't trust in God, is a real thing. But it's our opportunity to magnify the cross of Jesus. It's our opportunity to point to the power of Jesus on the cross, that yes, right, those that stay in their sin and don't turn to Christ, that don't believe in the Son of God, will perish. But God loves us so much that he made a way for us to that not be a reality. His love for us was so strong and so powerful that he sent his Son to be punished for our sins, so that's not our reality. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but rather to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to this. Who died for us. It's not God's will, right? It's not God's pleasure. God takes no delight in sending people to perish, right? This verse says God has not destined us for that. Rather, he sent Jesus to die in our place so that we could have him. This question of perishing, this fear of perishing, is a great opportunity for those that believe in the Son of God to point to the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the grace and the greatness of Christ, to point us to a loving God. So rather than running from the question, instead, let's point people that ask the question back to the loving God and the power of the cross. So to perish means to be cut off from the presence of God for an eternity. But look back at John 3:16. Look at the verse, eyes down your Bibles. That does not have to be the reality. Listen, guys, God loves us so much that he made a way for that not to be the reality. And here's the thing, in John 3:16 we see that, but listen, we don't just see that in John 3:16. We see it all throughout the Word of God, that he desires for us to be in that relationship with him. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says that God doesn't wish that anyone would perish. So, look back at the beginning of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God loved people that were perishing. God loved people that were apart from him and that were perishing so much that he did something. God gave his only son. Right? And as we read the entirety of John 3, we see that God didn't just send his son. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. He sent Jesus so that we would not what? Look at the verse. Look at John 3:16. God sent Jesus so that we would not perish. That's the direction that I'm headed on my own, apart from God. But he sent Jesus so that does not happen for me. There's another possibility outside of perishing. What's the other possibility? What is it? Look at the verse. What is it? It's eternal life, right? We don't have to perish. God sent Jesus so that we could have eternal life. Listen, it's not God's desire for me or for you to be separated from him, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. right? That's why we have the celebrations. That's why the holiday exists, to celebrate the fact that God sent Jesus so that we wouldn't perish, so that we would have eternal life. God gave his only son so that we could have eternal life. Guys, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. As you stop and as you pray throughout the Christmas season, thank God for making a way that you and that me and that all of us could have eternal life. So the question is, eternal life, what is it? I love this verse in John 17, 3. Guys, Jesus defines eternal life for us. It's not this vague, abstract thing. Jesus gives us in John 17, 3, the definition of eternal life. He's praying and he says these exact words: "This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Guys, eternal life is a personal, intimate relationship with God. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. That's what Jesus says. John Piper puts it really, really cool. He says it's not like a shot, right? It's not like a vaccination against the disease of death. It's not a shot against the disease of perishing that works in your body without you knowing about it. No, eternal life is a conscious experience. Eternal life is a relationship with God. It's not something that happens randomly in you that you can forget about. Eternal life is knowing Jesus and being in a relationship with God the Father through him. John 17, 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Question for you. Do you have eternal life? Or have you been saved from perishing? Look at this verse. Do you know the one true God, and do you know Jesus, the one that God has sent? How Jesus defines it. That's what Jesus tells us eternal life is. Guys, it's the opposite of hell. It's not being cut off from God. It's being woven, knit together in an eternal relationship with God, the complete opposite. It's not pain and separation. Instead, it's paradise. It's joy. It's hope. It's pleasure. It's reward, not punishment, for a relationship with Jesus, forever being in the presence of God. And listen to this, guys. It's eternal. It's eternal. It does not end. What's eternity? Think about it. Look up here. Think about eternity. What? How can we wrap our minds around the concept of eternity? I read this week that somebody described eternity like this to try to help you understand it. Imagine a seagull, right, at the beautiful clear waters and white sandy beaches of Galveston, right? Picks up and begins to fly and flies all the way to California, right? That's a long trip for a seagull, right? So it flies all the way to California to the beach there and picks up one grain of sand, right? And brings it back all the way to the white beaches of Galveston and drops it. And then goes back to California and gets another one and brings it back and drops it right on top of the first one and then gets a third one and brings it back, and continues to do that until the seagull has built a mountain as big as Mount Everest right there on the shore down in Galveston. This preacher says, only then will eternity have just begun, right? There's no way to comprehend how long eternity is because it's never going to stop, and our minds just simply don't work like that. But when we read of eternal life, when we read of this concept of heaven, right, it's for an eternity. It's not for some set amount of time. The Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about this place called heaven, just like hell, actual place, heaven, actual place, streets of gold, no more pain, no more tears, mansions. It talks about the gate. It talks about the pearly sea. It talks about the garden. It gives dimensions there of heaven. It talks about the reunion that we'll have with family and friends that have believed in the Son of God, trusted in him, who are waiting for us in heaven. Guys, listen, it's an incredible, incredible thing that God has done, that he would grant those of us in sin, those of us who have rebelled against him, that he would grant us a way to not perish, but to instead experience that, to instead experience eternal life. And the amazing thing is, we don't wait. We don't have to wait to heaven to get to heaven to experience eternal life. When the Bible talks about eternal life for those that trust in Jesus, do you know when it starts? It starts when we trust in Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes that those that have trusted in Jesus are already citizens of heaven. Right, we're already there experiencing that eternal life. In John 5, we read that those of us that trust in Jesus live what? We live in eternal life right now. In John chapter 11, Jesus is talking again about eternal life, and he says those that have eternal life will never die, that we will never die. Listen to this concept. The eternal life, the relationship that you have as you know God and as you know Jesus, eternal life is not interrupted at death. The Bible says that though we die, those of us who believe in Jesus die, we will live. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Guys, what a verse for us to remember at Christmas time. God loved me so much that even though I've done all of these things wrong, that even though I've rejected him, even though I mess up routinely, even though I have done things that caused me to deserve perishing, God loved me so much, he didn't want that for me, so he sent his son Jesus so I wouldn't perish, but instead would have what? Eternal life. God loved us that much. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. And the question is this: as we read God's word, why does it matter? And I want you to lean in for a minute, and I'm begging you to listen to this. Please, 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 if you have been tuning me out, tune in now. Please, guys, why does this matter? This concept of perishing, this concept of eternal life. And let me tell you, because both, look up here, guys, because both of these realities, both of these options are real. Perishing in hell is real. Eternal life with God the Father in heaven is real. And listen, there's people that I know. Guys, there's people that I know. And there's people that you know that are going to experience one or the other. There's people that we both know that have trusted in Christ. Right, as I look out here, I pray and hope that that's a lot of you, right, that have trusted in Christ. And that we'll experience eternal life now and eternal life forever with God the Father in heaven. Guys, but there's people that we also know, right, that will reject, that will not do what John 3:16 says and believe in. There's people that will reject God, that will be separated from God, that will perish. Both are reality. And I think it's so important. Guys, it is imperative that we know the difference between the two. Look back at the verse. Look in John 3:16. There's life and there's perishing, and people will experience one or the other, to live or to perish. And the difference is in the verse. It's one word. Look at it. Look at John 3:16. Find it. What is it? It's believe. John 3:16. Whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but would have eternal life. Wrestle with that, guys. Wrestle with it. There are people we know that will experience eternal life. There are people that we know, if they do not believe in Jesus, that will perish. Guys, God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus so that perishing, right, doesn't have to be our end. God sent Jesus so that we could have life. But apart from Jesus, guys, we don't have life. We've got to believe in Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, it says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Guys, when we believe in Jesus, it leads us to life now with God the Father. It leads us to eternal life forever in heaven with God the Father. But it doesn't only lead us to life, guys. It saves us from perishing. Because that's the direction that I'm headed on my own, apart from Jesus. That's the direction that we're all headed on our own, apart from Jesus. And let me just be really frank with you right now. Those of us who have friends that don't know Jesus, that's the direction that they're headed on their own until they do what John 3:16 says and believe in the Son of God. And listen, it's more than celebrating Christmas. It's more than decorating your house. It's more than knowing the story. It's more than being able to quote John 3:16. It's believing with our heart in Jesus. I read a quote from a preacher this week. It says, "I believe a great number of people are going to die and perish. They're going to die and be separated from God in hell because they're counting on their good deeds and their church attendance to give them life." That's not what we see in John 3:16. In John 3:16, it says life comes from believing in the Son. Our belief in Jesus alters our life, and it alters our eternity. It brings us from a place of perishing to a place of eternal life. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.